And as a matter of fact, we'd like to welcome Richard Steenen, who is a frequent contributor to our program. Richard, welcome and happy holidays to you.
Always great to be back, Foster. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you so much. We're just having kind of a ball here, gathering our family members together and talking about technology from the point of view of, well, looking back at the last year in particular. Now, with security in particular, is this last year of 2015, at, up to this point, probably one of the worst for data leakages?
Yeah, easily. We're living on an asymptotic curve up and to the right, and that's what it feels like. Every year is worse than the year before.
Absolutely, and it certainly looked like this last year in particular. Any that struck you in particular as being really critical kind of data leaks that maybe signal some bigger issues?
Yeah, so I think the winner is the Office of Personnel Management leak. So that was OPM inside the government, and that's the agency that keeps track of all the personnel records, including every single person who's ever applied for a security clearance, and all their data was leaked.
Oh, my gosh. What are the consequences of something like that kind of a leak?
Well, that particular leak, they're attributing to China, though China is saying, oh, no, it's just some cyber criminals who we've arrested. but that amount of data, if you know, you're doing a big data analysis on an adversary, would give you information on just about everybody, not the people in the CIA or the NSA, incidentally. Mm-hmm. And it would give you the ability to maybe blackmail them or target them for further attacks.
You know, Richard, I was also really interested in the hacking team hack over in Italy.
That was a big one.
Unleashed different, vulnerabilities that I think nobody knew about before except the hacking team. And when they got hacked, then all of a sudden they put that up on the web and everybody knew about those vulnerabilities, right, in Windows and in Flash.
Yeah, the hacking team had bragged that they had unknown vulnerabilities, and that's what they were selling to mostly law enforcement, mostly in, countries in the Middle East that have pretty strong law enforcement. But when the hackers broke in, they just released everything. Now everybody had access to these zero days and developed exploits for them right away.
But Cal, before you ask your question, just explain to me what the hacking team is. I've heard of it in passing, but I didn't know what it was or what it is. What is that,
yes,
Richard?
So not unlike several other entrepreneurial companies around the world, they're basically a team of hackers, professional, IT professionals who develop tools that can be installed on mobile devices or used to hack into systems. And law enforcement would be very interested in, retrieving records and phone pictures from child pornographers, etc. So they need these hacking tools, and they would purchase them from them for big bucks.
Wow.
You know, I was also interested in, and if you can't comment on this, I understand I should have gotten to you ahead of time, but the Equation Group, your thoughts about that group. Kaspersky said that they've infiltrated computers in Iran and Russia, and they didn't quite blame the U.S.?
Yeah, Kaspersky stays away from, because they are a Russian company, they try and stay away from people pointing fingers at them as working with the KGB or the FSB, as it's now called. But yeah, they're pointing fingers, and they also, were some of the original researchers into the Flame piece of malware that looked like it was a cousin to Stuxnet, which everybody does attribute to the U.S. So, yeah, and then very interestingly, just last week we learned of these backdoors that were somehow placed in Juniper, the big network hardware company, placed in their OS. So many, many of their firewalls are vulnerable to outside attackers coming in and either decrypting traffic or getting remote control over that firewall.
So is it Jupiter or Juniper?
Juniper.
Juniper, pardon me. Okay, so yeah. Juniper produced firewalls for a number of different kind of companies, right? They were using them as a security.
Carriers and government included.
Well, I mean, if I remember right, this is why the you know, so many, like the cell phone companies and the hardware manufacturers in the United States do not want the U.S. government to, or do not want to provide backdoors for the U.S. government so that, right, the NSA can get in there, because those could be exploited at some point in the future as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And most of, most U.S. technology companies get about 60% of their revenue outside the U.S., and any suspicion that they're hand in glove with the NSA or whoever is going to hurt their ability to market and sell in any country around the world.
Cal?
So, Richard, am I looking at the world through, like, clouded glasses? But it seems like in the past year, and tell me if the trend's going this way, viruses really aren't that big of a deal anymore as much. And I'm not saying, I'm not discounting that, but they don't seem to be as much of a big deal as hacking and security breaches.
Yeah, completely. And you would think there would still be these amateur hackers that create viruses and let them go just to see what happens, but we haven't seen that in ages and ages, probably over a decade now, and just as we haven't seen any worms. And one of the reasons is if you could do that, you could turn it to earning yourself some money. So the people working on these things are buying and selling vulnerabilities and exploits instead of using them up.
Oh,
you know,
I see.
And it's interesting, the FBI was accused of hiring Carnegie Mellon to hack
for $1 million.
And then decided they were actually Carnegie Mellon was going to have a session at Black Hat, and then it got pulled for some mysterious reason.
We always have to have one of those at Black Hat.
Yeah, of course. You never know what's really true, right? Could tell us just between us friends here.
It seems, Cal, you were talking about this. It almost seems like, do you know who your friends are anymore? Who you can trust with anything anymore?
Well, if you're a security person, you don't trust anybody, ever.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Always validate. We're getting to the point where every transaction has to be validated. Every device you connect to has to prove that it's the device you expect. And moving forward, we're going to have hardware security modules on most devices and digital certificates residing on those that you can check and trust them.
Wow. I remember in the 90s, I worked with these people that were securing the mainframes and the mainframes, the decks, and we had access to the internet. And I used to call this guy paranoid all the time because he would have to think of these things all the time. I really thought it was a personal trait, but you really do have to be a paranoid, like, personality.
Really are out to get you.
They really are out to get you.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you that when they stop at almost nothing, when Hello Barbie, the new Barbie doll, got hacked, they'll stop at nothing.
Yeah. Now, the security people have that special trait. It can be learned, but it's that level of paranoia, and that's why, there are many, many more software developers than there are security people, and that's why it's so important when you're developing a project is get a security guy there, and he or she will just bring up all these things for every single step of the way. You've got to make sure that trust is maintained.
No, I agree. I mean, looking back then, we used to look at this guy across the table and like, who would do that? Why? That's such a trivial point. Why would you even bring that up? Who would ever think of doing what this person's describing and all the cost that it's going to cause?
Yeah.
And they're absolutely right. And no one paid attention to him, and we should have. A lot of people should have.
Yeah.
Well, it just goes back to the age-old thing. Whatever a man can create, another man can break. And so, with security, you have to be, paranoid about everybody, everything, and probably including yourself because everything's vulnerable, right?
Yep, yeah.
Richard Steenan is our guest here. Richard, are we past the place where you have a company like a Sony which could actually just kind of poo-poo this whole thing and then get themselves clobbered? In other words, is there anybody out there who is acting like this really couldn't happen to them? Or have we finally gotten to the place where people are taking this really, really seriously?
Well,
Cal, you're shaking your head.
There's still plenty of organizations like that. The approach now is not so much as, nobody would bother hacking us. It's still that we don't have anything worth stealing.
Ouch.
I still run into that every single day.
Or you got a young startup and they got something going, Jesse, the money is flowing in like crazy, and they're not even thinking about it. It's like, we're making too much money to even worry about that sort of stuff. And if it happens, we'll just cover the risk.
I don't think so. I think it's just hard because I know of a company, they were bragging that they stopped 42 million attempts from China to get into their system. The problem is that they don't know how many they didn't stop.
That is the deal, right? Richard Steenan is our guest. We're going to come back in just a moment. Maybe talk a little bit about state-sponsored hacking as being a big theme that has risen even more in 2015. Back here to wrap things up on the Internet Advisor. And Richard Steenan is with us online. He is an expert in security. We're talking about the year 2015. Richard, I want to do a little kind of interesting thing here. We've got a lot of young people, like the next generation in studio with us right now. And Talon Rudell, and we've got Meredith, who is here, Cal Carson's daughter. And we also have Lauren and Justin, Gary Baker's kids. I'm curious, would you guys comment on, you've been hearing us talk about security. How big a concern is that for you as you talk about this? And yeah, Justin, you can lean into that microphone there. How big a concern is that? Is it something you know, it's at all on your radar?
On my mind, usually I'm not thinking about security, but I'm definitely going to more in the future because that's probably what I want to go into, study in college. But right now, doing the stuff that I do, it's not really on top of my mind. But
okay. What do you use for security?
I have a passcode on my phone.
Okay.
I usually keep my passwords just in my head. I don't really write them down. Okay.
I'm glad you could still do that. Yeah. I can't. They're gone completely if I put them in that safe. Okay, Lauren, how about you? What is this whole business about security? Is it a real concern for you? What do you use?
You know, I'm one of those that doesn't even, I'm a pretty trusting person. I don't even have a passcode on my phone, so I hope no one out there actually knows me and comes takes advantage of that. But I know a lot of people that do have like password apps where they'll have different passwords for every single thing, and then they store it on one app and one master password.
Use that LastPass is the one that I use.
Yeah.
And 1Password, I think, Cal, was one that you've used. Yeah.
Yeah, I really need to look into that. Again, with anything that I put on social media, I don't worry about security for that. It's everything's kind of fair game. It's nothing that I would keep secret. But
that's interesting.
Other things would be.
You know, LastPass was the one that was hacked.
I know.
So maybe it's good to use them because they won't be hacked again. Although there are two kinds of companies, right? There's the kinds that have been hacked and those that will be hacked again.
So. I was going to repeat that, Rick. That's his mantra, Richard. All right, Meredith, how about you? Are you concerned about security? Do you take security measures?
Absolutely. I mean, I have a passcode on my phone, but it's technology. With the intelligence that people have nowadays, it's so easy for them to get a hold of anything. Mm-hmm. And even if I got a new iPhone, I won't be storing my credit card information on there because it's too much of a risk. I mean, honestly, the internet probably knows more about us than we do. So why give them more of that power?
Okay, that's interesting. Talon, how about you?
I kind of fall in between. I don't have a passcode on my phone, my laptop. You can just open it and go on everything. But I don't save my passwords on my computer, so if something does happen, they won't really be able to get anything. Only for things that are important, though. So for like Facebook, I really don't care. I leave that unprotected. But then for stuff like my bank account, I have that written down in a safe place that no one will ever find that password. And then whenever I need it, I grab it and then type it in.
Richard, what do you think of what you've been hearing here?
Well, you know, the coolest thing is that everybody mentioned their smartphones.
Yes.
And, you know, even though there's a lot of talk about how dangerous it is and all this, smartphones are 100 times more secure than laptops and desktops. So it's actually, a good sign because mobile platforms are completely containerized. There's no such thing as a worm that jumps from one to another or a piece of malware that you can email to a friend and infect your phone. That just doesn't happen. There are no breaches at all that are ever attributed to a mobile device. It just never happened. So that's the wave of the future, and most younger people tend to do everything on their phones. So they're actually in better shape than the generation before.
That is fascinating, as you folks were talking about it. So in many ways, the dependence on a smartphone, if I'm hearing it correctly, is precisely what is helping to protect them from a lot of the other problems. Because we, the older generation, I guess, began with the desktops and then maybe with the laptops and then have moved much more slowly, I would guess, in terms of group, into the smartphone era. So we bring with us a lot of our vulnerabilities.
That's right. And of course, the entire industry of security was built around protecting Windows machines. So it was Microsoft that introduced, all these vulnerabilities, and it was hackers who wanted to show the world how dumb they were for using Microsoft, spreading worms, and that just created the whole world, the nightmare that we live in today. Mm-hmm. And of course, the U.S. government is completely Windows-based, and yes. The military is completely Windows XP-based, so that, future generations and hopefully future organizations won't deal with that.
Well, Richard, we want to have you back, by the way, probably with our new year to talk about looking ahead to 2016 and some of the things you see as some of the major themes and maybe some of the major efforts that are going to go on. I want one last question I wanted to have you. One of my predictions for 2015 is that there will be a first major infrastructure hack. We haven't seen yet, or have we?
We haven't really. It's an interesting one. Supposedly some dam Iranian hackers attacked. That was just revealed last week.
Mm.
But we really haven't seen the first infrastructure attack where lights go out, communication is shut down, that we know of. Maybe it's happened and nobody knows that it was a cyber attack, like the 2003 Northeast Corridor attack or outage. But I think you're onto something, Foster, because the stars are aligning. We've got vulnerabilities in critical infrastructure control systems that are being exploited by hacker teams that are attributed to Russia. We've got, and those are mostly for, reconnaissance, right? So just checking out what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, starting to see adversaries that would like to do some sort of damage.
Absolutely.
And the industry has always acknowledged, the security industry has always acknowledged that taking down our infrastructure would be a walk in the park. We're so vulnerable, it's so easy, and nobody's ever done it. So it's only a matter of time, and maybe it's 2016.
Wow, I certainly hope not. Richard, thank you so much. We will be having you back, though, to talk about looking ahead to the next year. And I hope that you have a very, very good New Year celebration. And a lot of the things we talk about never happen. Take care of yourself.
All right.
All right, that's Richard Seaton, our guest here on the program.